Well, I don't know, you know, he's supposed to run all the snakes out of Ireland. All sound like stuff that families do. He picked them up to handle them, I guess. I don't know. I just don't know about that. But in the year 597, Gregory the Great sent Austin, or as he is sometimes called, Augustine, and there are many Augustines in church history, to Britain to convert the Saxons. Gregory, when a monk, had seen some fair-haired Saxon youths, and when he asked them from what country they came, they replied, from the land of the Angles. But Gregory thought they should be more appropriately called Angles, because they were blonde and blue-eyed. He was anxious to go on a missionary journey to this people, but he was so popular in Rome, he was raised to the papal see, not to be pope. He did not, however, give up his cherished design for the Saxons. He could not go, but he persuaded Austin to undertake the mission. Austin reached the country in the year indicated above. Austin was offered them the most liberal terms. Now listen to this. He was to offer them the most liberal terms and allow them to retain all of their former practices if they would submit to baptism. He was not to destroy the heathen temples, only to remove the images of their gods, to wash the walls with holy water, to erect altars and deposit relics in them, and so convert them into Christian churches. Not merely to save the expense of newborns, but that the people might easily be prevailed upon to frequent those places of worship which they had been accustomed. Gregory directed him further to accommodate the services of Christian worship as much as possible to those of the heathen, that the people might not be startled at the change, and in particular he advised him to allow the Christian converts on certain festivals to kill and eat a great number of oxen for the glory of God, as they have formerly done to the glory of heaven. Now,
two words.
Syncretism and indigenization.
These are the words that describe what we've discussed here. Okay.
The doctrine of syncretism is exactly what was articulated by Gregory as he spoke to Austin.
When you get there, you're going to find these pagans, and they're going to have temples, and they're going to have images inside. And they're going to have special days when they kill a lot of oxen and eat them. In fact, these people are going to have a day when they take a tree and decorate it and celebrate 10 or 12 days of special fervency of dedication to the pagan gods whom they worship. And also, in the springtime, they're going to get involved in rituals of fertility. So what we want you to do, we don't want you to go in there and tell these people they're wrong. We want you to go in there and tear down the buildings, anything of that nature. What you do is go take the images out, wash the walls down with holy water. You can get that at Saints, okay? Now you people are probably wondering about that. It's cheaper there than it is anywhere, okay? Now, if you wonder how you can get holy water, you can get holy water from the same source that changes the blood of Jesus, wine into the blood of Jesus. You can get holy water from the same people that can change a wafer into the literal body of Jesus. If you can change wine into the blood of Jesus, you can take common pump water and turn it into holy water. Okay, that would be no problem at all. Okay, not for a high step like that. Now what you do, wash the walls down with holy water, and then we're going to baptize them all. It is said they baptized 10,000 people by immersion in one day. That's pretty good, you know what I'm talking about. But when they ran out of that what they did, they just lined everybody up and marched them through the water, okay? If they couldn't do that, they'd stand them all out there, 1,000, 10,000, 15,000, and the priest would dip a branch in the water and just sling it over them and say the formula. Okay? Now, we're not talking about preaching the gospel, okay? We're not talking about preaching repentance and preaching salvation, nothing like that. So, how can we get these people to keep on doing the things they're doing, but do it to the glory of God? In fact, we'll make them Christians and they'll never know it. How can we do that? Well, we'll rename their holiness. The first one that we're going to do is rename their one toward the end of the year, these 12 days, when they get into all these ox eating and all that sort of stuff, really high stuff. What will we call it? That's right, Christ's Mass. And then in the spring, we need to plug that one in and get this ritual that we go through that has to do with the equinox. Now, we can't have, see, there was two dates to celebrate Easter. One of them was fixed, and one of them had to do with the movement of the moon and the stars, which wasn't always on the same day. Now, the Catholics said that the true Easter is not on that fixed day, okay? It's got to be what? Certain time after the solstice, okay? And the solstice is the 22nd, is that right? Of March. Then you count so many, the moon changes or whatever. See, y'all not good Christians at all, are you? You don't want to be good. People are dumb, aren't you?
Is that what she's talking about on page 180, what it says, yeah, that you act through many particulars contrary to our customs, or rather the custom of the universal church, and yet if you comply with me in three points,
okay,
to keep Easter as the proper day, so on and so forth?
No, that's not the pagans.
I know, but
that's the Christians that were already there.
Right, but the Catholic Church was keeping it on a certain day, and was he telling them that you now need to change your way and keep it on day with you?
And he's telling that to the Christians of who are right, not the pagans.
Right, okay.
They got two different people. What they didn't know of or didn't comprehend is when we get there to convert to pagan, there'll be a whole bunch of Christians already there. And they said, the first thing we do, we make all the pagans Christian, then we've got to work on these so-called Christians that are already here to get them and whip them into the same form. And that's when they started talking to these so-called people, these people who said, hey, what's going on? And they said, well, we're going to recognize the Pope has sent me to tell y'all that you got to start doing this thing. And since you're ignorant, you don't know anything about special days and Mass and all that, we're going to tell you that if you come up to standard on three things, we'll tolerate you till we can get you quit from lying real good.
Does this controversy really go back to Polycarp or not? Before the Decimal discussion?
We have the fixing of the date of Easter, which came out of the zodiac, okay, which was brought into the church from Babylon. Okay? The zodiac and reading your horoscope goes back to the Tower of Babel. And the worship of the women, and you read about this in the Old Testament, who wept over the death of a young man who died, a boar killed him, and he was raised a year later. Ashtaroth, okay, which is a word that later became Eastern. So what you're looking at, when you look at these pagans here, you're looking back to the Tower of Babel. So, mystery religion, that's what John speaks, you know. It all goes all back to Babylon, okay?
But then they also incorporate the goddess, what's her name?
Ishtar and Ashtaroth, these are the same words. Yeah. But Isis, okay, Ishtar, these are all just different cultures looking at the same concept.
What is the base, the actual Easter date?
The fixed date? Yeah. I don't recall what date it was, but it was early in March. Maybe like the first Sunday in March or something of that nature. See, when was Passover?
Well, it's a day that depends on the moon.
Yeah. It was a harvest type thing, yeah. See. Well, they took that and then they plugged it into paganism before they got their solstice, the winter solstice, the summer solstice, the signs of the zodiac. You know, get you a farmer's almanac and you can see all this stuff, okay? It'll all be there, the signs, Pisces, and all these other things.
So where did the crucifixion and
the resurrection be? They said, look, what are the two big things in Christianity? The birth of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. So they took these two big pagan holidays and they centralized it, okay? Indigenization is when you tell the people the truth and then it becomes indigenous to the people themselves. That is, it's what's inside of them, okay? So what we try to do is go preach the gospel and change the people from the inside out, not adopting their culture and their holidays and their holy days, but actually changing them and setting these in, as you can see, in the New Testament. So what we're looking for is indigenization, okay? Not looking for syncretism.
Okay, what?
Syncretism is when you take whatever's there and name it a Christian name, okay? Indigenization is when you go and you preach the gospel and the gospel itself and the truth become indigenous to the people. Now we talk about building an indigenous church, which means a church that people in that area build.
Well, one of the Roman early Catholic Church did that when they took like the Pantheon, which was a pagan place of worship, and that's now a big Catholic church.
Yeah, well,
it was a place of pagan worship. They all multiple gods in that place.
Well, that person has one called God, and then all deities and all gods. That was in Paris. I'm trying to think. I don't think it is now. It may have been at one time. I don't think they use it as a church thing. I think it's a museum thing.
Maybe, but it was at one time.
Well, the Roman Catholic Church, see, what happened was they started building buildings about the year 150 or 200, okay? And then when it became the state church, then it was about 400 or 500 under the emperor, not under Augustine.
You mean Constantine?
Yeah, not under Constantine. No, they didn't do that at all. They were building their churches at that particular time, or if the pagans were converted, they might use it, but they weren't taken away from them. Under Theodosius, in about 540, whenever he outlawed paganism and made Christian the only religion, then they became iconoclastic. That is, they went in, tore out all of the statue of Mary, they tore down all of the paintings, they tore down all of the material that was there, the draperies, tapestries, and everything, and threw them out as being idols. So it wasn't until about 500 that they did that.
But that's the same kind of thing we're talking about.
Absolutely. When you just take it and say, and the opposite of it is this, look, we're not getting anybody to church. We need people. Somebody says, well, let's have a fish fry. Well, okay, we can get lots of people in a fish fry, right? Somebody said, well, how can we make these people how can we turn this into a religious service? Well, so I tell you what, let's do. Let's have a fish fry, and before we eat, we'll read five scriptures and have a prayer. And that'll sanctify the whole thing. And all these people that come to eat fish will at least be acting like Christians anyway. You do the same thing with the young people. Can't get them to go to church, we'll get them to go to Six Flags. And while they're at Six Flags, they can sing some religious songs and hand out a few tracts. That sanctifies the journey. So we can tell them, go to Six Flags, and in it you'll be serving God. Oh, get mad.
Why do I care?
Hey, I'm old and sick. You can't do anything to me, okay? See, we think that people can be tricked into worshiping God. But any man who bows to God, who doesn't bow it because of what's in his heart, is hypocritical and fake and false, and God doesn't accept it. I've always said the easiest way to build a church is do it with money. I've got the ideal circumstance. I tell you how to have 1,000 Sunday. Any of y'all have 1,000 Sunday school in 6 months, I'll guarantee it, okay? Any time you want to, you'll just do this, okay? Print your church book. Put a number here and a number here. And say that, say, we're going to pair this in two. We're going to give you one when you come on the parking lot. Pair it in two, write your name on it, put it in a box in the vestibule. And we're going to draw this, now not before church, because they'll drive off. And we don't want it to be heathens just coming for the money, okay? So what we're going to do is the lucky right here gets $5,000. We're going to put this in the Gazette, that encouraged her in the headline. How many people can you have church next week? Next Sunday, are they? You believe you can have 1,000? Now, I don't talk about offering $100. I'm talking about $5,000 cash. You'll have to call the police.
You have to give it away the first time. But if you give it away the first time, it'll be over. You have to put money with you.
I mean to, okay? I don't mean to fake your stuff. No, we're not heathens. We're going to be honest with God. We want these to be real converts, okay? This is the magic bullet. We'll mail them out. It's a holy lottery. But look, I'm doing it because I love lost souls. And I want people to come to church. I'm compassionate. I'm not like you non-progressive, uncompassionate people who don't love lost souls and won't do anything. Listen, I love lost souls so much, I'll do anything to save them. And let me ask you, if one person saved out of this, isn't it worth $5,000? Huh? So why would you criticize me for doing it? I'm doing it for love, and I'm doing it for God. And it works. That ain't working as good as I want it to.
I don't care.
That's the whole problem. I know what God's plan is, but it's slow and cumbersome, and it just don't work well. I'm talking about crowds. I'm not talking about a handful of folk. I want something to happen. I want to do something for God. I don't want to just sit around in the bench and preach and teach and yawn and scratch, okay? I want something done for God. I'm tired of all this stuff, sitting around, laying around, nothing happening. I want it booming and going. Now y'all going to follow me and help me? You say, hey, that's wrong. We wouldn't do that. We're not that kind of people. That's wrong.
we're going to put a dollar on the big stick.
Or everybody, it's got perfect hymns for the year, it's on Six Flags. But we're not going to do stupid stuff like that. Man, they're just doing that for the money. Right? Like I said, I'm old and sick. I don't care. Hurt me again. He said, we're going to tell them you. I don't care. Folks, listen. We try and do the same thing. By the way, what did your church do? Christ Mass.
Well, we serve the birth of Christ after we live in the Christmas tree.
Well, you're not blaspheming, are you?
Not yet. What are you going to do this?
Easter egg hunt for kids. No, butter rabbit.
I thought y'all were Christian. Now, what did he do to these people? That's what he did to get the pagans. He bought them. Gave them true religion, didn't he? Baptized 10,000 on one day. How many did you baptize? You criticized me. That's like, no, you know, you people are criticizing this man to baptize 10,000. What did you do? How many did you baptize? That's what I thought. Oh, I'll shut everybody up, won't you?
No,
look, suppose these people, they come and, but I say, hey, they ain't going to get it till after I preach to them, brother. And some of them hear me say. So we, see, Paul didn't understand when he said, shall we do evil that good may come from us? See, Paul thought you couldn't do evil and have good come from us. See, evil is not the kind of aggressive man we need to
understand.
I agree with you. People do that. You can't, you've got to get down in the gutter with them to lift them up. There were people who were saying, let's sin and the grace of God may abound. But, you know, this is typical humanistic stuff. Now let me tell you a thing. Anything that comes out of the mind of a man is humanistic. Because he's a human and his mind is human, okay? And anything that a man does, another man can do better. That's why we can keep writing laws and regulations all the time. We never get through. We just keep on writing. Because they're not perfect. Now, that's how he dealt with pagans. Look how he dealt with the Christians that were there. On page 180, you act in many particulars contrary to our custom. That's what Austin said to these people. Or rather, the custom of the universal church. And yet, if you will comply with me in these three points, that is, keep Easter at the due time, that's what he meant, the right date. To administer baptism by which we are again born to God according to the custom of the Holy Roman Apostolic Church. And jointly with us preach the word of God to the English nation. We will readily tolerate the other things that you do, though contrary to our custom. They answered that they would do none of these things, nor receive him as their archbishop. For they alleged among themselves that we would not now rise up to us, how much more would he condemn us as of no worth if we begin to be under his subjection. Austin affirmed that there were many differences between the Roman Catholic and the British Christians, and the Britons asserted that they were not subject to Austin and would not receive him as archbishop. They, at the bottom of the page, and even a more, perhaps, clearer thing. Then he said to them, since you will not send to me, generally send to me specifically in three things. First is that you keep Easter day in due form and time as was ordained. The second that you give Christmas children. What do they mean, give Christmas children? baptize him. And third is that you preach unto the angels the word of God as four times times as old as you. Now, when we're talking about preaching the word of God, Catholics preach the word of God a lot different than what I preach the word of God. Not saying, okay? Basically, what you got to do is conform us, then we'll recognize you as a true universal church of people. We'll let the Pope be your papa as well as our papa. We've worked out all these other problems as well. So, guess how they finally got all this done? Fire and sword. No, this is in the 600 and 700 and 800, and we just lose contact with these people, 900, 1,000, and all of a sudden we start seeing things sort of bubble up. Right, that's what I'm seeing is we see this particular part of British history and there's just sort of a big gap in the thing, and all of a sudden we're looking at Wycliffe, we're looking at Tyndale, sort of bubble up, and we're looking at print Bibles. We don't know whether Baptist, some say Tyndale was Baptist, some say Wycliffe was a Baptist, others say he had a tremendous number of Baptist ideas, and that's true, he really did. They believed, and you know, they wanted to print the Word of God, they wanted the common man to have the Word of God, and this has always been a Baptist trait, that is, we believe the Word of God made Baptist. Now he mentions a church at Hillcliff, and this is sort of a strange thing on page 182. Let's look at this description here and just see how things have changed, okay? Page 183, this small print. We have relied, and I've read a number of articles about this church here, and it's really extraordinary, okay? We have reliable evidence that a separatist and probably a Baptist church has existed for several centuries in a secluded spot of Cheshire, on the borders of Lancashire, about a mile and a half from Warwick. No spot could be better chosen or concealed. We're going to find a place that nobody can find and build our church. Today we want what? The most public location we can find. Now, you got to understand, we got a constitution that guarantees us our rights. These people have a monarchy and a state church that forbade them to worship. So they found the most concealed, hidden, remote place they could find. Many times in Wales, there were counties, and in England, and they would build a Baptist church, and there have been some of them who built it just like that right there, a straddle of the border. Line, county line. So that if a sheriff came here, they just moved over here and worked. Because he couldn't cross that line. And the rest, well, sometimes they built it like this, like there was a hill here, and they built it right here like this, and they dig so that they couldn't come in the back door, but they could dig and come out tunnels and flee. They built their churches so they could run away, so they could flee, so they could hide. And that's what they did here. And this church, it states that it had a number of exits, etc. And they had a baptistry of stone, well cemented. And they lasted evidently for centuries. In fact, you can visit this property now in England. It still has a Baptist meeting. It doesn't have a church meeting until it didn't stop meeting until not many years ago.
Is it a building?
I think so. I was reading about it. Some fellow just happened to run on the thing, Phyllis, and discovered it and found it and wrote an article in a British Baptist publication, a historical publication that I read about it maybe a year or two ago. And it evidently had been just sort of neglected for 100 years. a bit years, and he read about it and went and found it, and a lot of stuff was dealt with. And you can imagine that it was so isolated that for hundreds of years they preserved it, but then in modern times, because it wasn't located conveniently, then the people just dwindled away, and it was forsaken.
He's a great remember to see that.
Yeah.
What about the Lawlers? Were they Baptists or not?
Well, that's like asking a lot of other questions. I think some of them were, some of them weren't. I think there were some of them who were quite good Baptists and some of them who were filthy Baptists. Because you're asking when. Lawlers are 300 or 400 year old. Yeah. Perhaps the last part before.